Now we're going to look in part two at the first reading and the psalm. But I want to say a few words about the theme of this Sunday. The theme is repentance or contrition. And the principle is, you, wherever you are is where God sees you. If you've been a terrible sinner for 50 years, and now you're really sorry for your sins, then God sees you there. You need work to repair, there's injured people and so forth. But in other words, and this is the first reading from Ezekiel, God sees you where you are, which is the encouraging thing about repentance. If I really am sorry for my sins, they're forgiven and God sees me as forgiven. Now, if I've stolen $50,000, I'm forgiven, but I got to give the $50,000 back, and so forth. But it's such a precious teaching and an encouragement to us. And I'm hoping to be able to get time later to talk about the gift of tears, which is precious. All right. So, this first text is Ezekiel 18, 4 verses 25 to 28. Thus says the Lord, you say, the Lord's way is not fair. Listen, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair? Or rather, are not your ways unfair? You're much less forgiving than I am. What he's saying, you see. When somebody virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. That's the way they translate that, you know. He will have his life, literally he will have his soul live. Who? He will have his soul live. It's a beautiful phrase. Huh? See, forgiveness sounds like it's wiped off the books. Soul saved or soul live is much more profound. Okay. Since he has turned away from all the sins he has committed, and then again it says there, he shall surely live. He shall not die. So the Lord is saying what I've been trying to say, that it's where you are that matters before God. And so if somebody sins and repents, he's in good favor with God. He lives. If somebody has been acting well and now sins and doesn't come back, well, he's in a state of death because he's deprived of the favor of God. Or as we would say, the word for favor in Latin is gratia, and gratia is grace. And so the principle is, you see, that the Lord is trying to show us something, and we'll see it exactly the same in the gospel. The two sons the Lord talks to, the Father talks to. One says, I'm going right out to work right now, Father, and he never goes. And the other says, no, I'm not going to go. Then he changes his mind and goes. Which one did the Father's will? The second. And so, the invitation to what I'm going to talk about, compunction, penthos, is meant to be very encouraging. What the Lord can do for us. I'm going to tell you this story now before I forget it. There was a woman, she had been a prostitute, and she went out into the desert to live, and she got to be a matriarch, you know, the patriarchs of the desert and the matriarchs of the desert. And so they called her Saint Mary, Agia Miriam. She said, no, call me Miriam Ho Martelon, Ho Martelon. Call me Mary the sinner. Don't call me that other stuff. So, for the rest of her life, she was Saint Mary the sinner. And You see how beautiful that is? You see, don't exaggerate. I'm not holy. I'm not the Lord. You know, I'm a sinner. Okay, you're a sinner. So we'll call you St. Mary the Sinner. That's the directness or simplicity of the desert, you know? It doesn't matter where you were, it matters where you are. And that's very important. So, this principle laid down here is developed, and I'm going to touch a bit here and then move on to the psalm and come back. In the great experts in this notion of compunction, of sorrow for sin, are the early fathers of the desert, because they were experts in turning back to God, living a very ascetic life, but also being aware of what was going on inside of them. And so they often talk about penthos. And another word for that, the Latin word is compunctio. Well, compunctio is a medical term. It means to pierce a lamp, to pierce a boil. You see? It lets all the bad stuff out. This piercing. So how does it happen? As I say, we're going to come back to this. We're overwhelmed by the mercy of God. Look now, for instance, what has been the message for centuries now from God? Mercy. Mercy isn't saying, I know you're fine, you're doing great. No, it's saying, the only way you're going to become fine is to experience my mercy. Then you'll weep. And those tears, those tears will be tears of sorrow and joy at the same time. Because I'm forgiven. And I know what I'm forgiven from. I weep for that sorrow that I sinned and joy that I'm forgiven. We read so much. We read so much in the lives of the saints that they wept over their sins. And you say, well, you know, I can understand a Camillus de Lellis, you know, who was a mercenary soldier, a profligate, a murderer, a gambler. But St. Therese, you know, I mean, or even St. Teresa of Avila, who's always talking about the worldly life she led in the convent for a while. And, you know, go out to the parlor and have tea and crumpets. And that's not really a monastic life, you know. So she had a point. But, you know, 30 years later? Yeah. Why? Because she sees those sins in the light of the mercy of God. As somebody puts it, I see my sins through the eyes of Christ. Which means I see how really bad they are. But I see also the mercy and compassion in those eyes. And now I got both. I don't have to make excuses. I don't have to say, well, you know, my mother dropped me on my head when I was 2, and that's why I'm this way. You know, no, I sinned. I have sinned. You see? And I see it as Christ sees it, who sees it in his true heinousness. And that's what he forgives. We're not fooling him. You know, I'll smile and Jesus will think I'm nice. It won't work because he reads us. So, this is the principle that Ezekiel lays down, and it will be the principle that will follow through in the gospel. And in another way, but not quite the same, in the second reading. Now, the psalm is one of the masterpieces. It's Psalm 25. They skip verses here. 4 to 5. Well, not really. No, they don't. 4 to 5, 6 to 7, 8 to 9. This is a time when they don't. So I take that back. Okay. So, Darkecha Adonai Hodieni, Ohotecha Lamdeni. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Make me know them. You see, your paths teach me. In other words, we say it, and he has a way about it. You see? Well, that's his ways. So it comes from walking. And that's why the two words that are used here are your ways and your paths. But it means, Lord, teach me how you think and act. I want to be like you, and I want to understand who you are. You see? And so then it goes on, and these are so much work. Hadrikeni vimiteka. And of course, now you're going to, as we've done so often, you see in the Psalms these words come over and over and over again. We already have here, you see, guide me in your truth. Your truth is your solidity, your total reliability. You see, you are true because you don't change. You are true. And I want, you see, to learn that. Teach me these, your ways. I want to have your attitude toward everything and everybody. And that's what he's praying for. And then your paths. That first word, ways, in Hebrew is derech, the guide on a tour. You know, you're over in Israel and you're on a guided tour. The person leading around is called hamadrik, the one who shows you the way. Okay, now, remember, you see, for you are my Savior. Remember, and now, by this time, we ought to be all able to be to recite what he's going to ask for. Remember, Rachameka Adonai, Vachasadeka. Remember your Rachum, or your Rechem, and your Chesed. You see how deeply they are engraved in the heart of a person of faith? The mercy and the fidelity. The enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant, you see? Let me experience this, Lord. You see? You see? Lead me in this truthfulness and teach me because, Lord, you are my Savior. And then it starts, another line in verse 6, remember your mercy, Lord, and your hesed, because they are from all eternity. And then it goes, the sins of my youth, hatohot nechorai, and my rebellions, don't remember them, please. You see, in your kindness, or according to your kindness, remember me, Lord, because of your goodness. Think of me in terms of your mercy. And then it ends, Tov v'yashar, good and upright is Adonai, and therefore he shows sinners the way. Now, the word for sin there, a common word, hata, which means to miss the mark, to wander off, to and so he's saying, the hatayim, those who wander off, he brings them back to the way. He'll go get us and bring us back and show us where to walk and how to walk. So you can see that this psalm is a deep appreciation of the mercy of God.